Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Betch with Jeremy Zachas in New South Wales. Coming springtime, as of right now, springtime. Autumn in the north temperate hemisphere, springtime in the southern hemisphere, meaning the koalas are busy, very busy, in the eucalyptus forest. The kangaroos are roaming around looking for wedding parties, and the snakes. We'll start with the kangaroos. Jeremy, have you seen kangaroos in your neighborhood? Do you see them on the roadway when you're driving to Sydney?
We do. We absolutely do now, especially in really the past week, when this is really the time they come out, because it's starting to get a little bit warmer. While we haven't had the rain to create the undergrowth, they're still out there foraging for a lot of that short grass that they love so much. So we actually have to be very careful, especially when we're driving in the early morning hours, because kangaroos, just before sunrise, as it's starting to get warm, that's when they come out and want to forage. And of course, that also happens to be the time when us humans come out and want to drive to work. So typically on the way to work, I actually have to watch out for kangaroos on the side of the road, because they're not the most street smart animals on the planet. They'll see a car, they'll typically watch you approach, and then they'll jump straight in front of you because they just don't have any sense. So I can tell you already, I've had to slow down many times in the past week just to make sure I didn't have any of those big greys or the big reds jump in front of me. Luckily, the ones in my neighborhood seem to be a little bit smarter and haven't jumped yet, but you've got to watch out for the young ones.
Jeremy, do you have kangaroo signs the way we have deer crossing signs? You know, a picture of a kangaroo profile and a yellow a diamond-shaped yellow sign. Do you have those?
We absolutely do. In fact, they are almost all over the place here in southern Sydney. In fact, you can't drive anywhere, especially in the country areas of Australia, without seeing at least one of those. We also have them too for our wombats, believe it or not, as well. So we have kangaroos, we have wombats, and also for the emus. But the kangaroos are very much prevalent, because you have to really know which areas they're in. And honestly, motorists are the ones that tend to get in trouble with them.
There's new information about kangaroos in Australia. This will be logical, but a surprise to me. Where do you have to worry the most about kangaroos on the roadway? KFC. Jeremy, explain what's happened.
Well, John, it turns out that at least in Busselton, Western Australia, kangaroos like Kentucky Fried Chicken. And this is a real thing, apparently, and it's happened more than once, but somebody's finally got it in film. In the Busselton KFC, they have a couple of grey roos that frequent the venue quite often. And when I say frequent, they actually hop inside the store and start foraging for food. Now, it's not unknown that kangaroos have a wide palate for their tastes and for what they like to eat, but I think this is the first that we've ever had a KFC-loving kangaroo, and I think it's the first time that we've actually had one that is not only one kangaroo, it's two kangaroos, but they've repeatedly gone back. So honestly, John, something new I've learned about kangaroos, they like grass and they like KFC. So if I see my kangaroos on the next few days, maybe I'll just offer them, I don't know, a chicken burger or something.
There's a video accompanying this story of KFC kangaroos. Does the kangaroo know how to open and close the door?
The short answer is yes. And in fact, this is something that's been weirdly observed fairly recently, is that kangaroos apparently watch humans and they figured out automatic doors. It's happened in a few other shops. In South Australia, we had one that went into a liquor store, believe it or not. There was one in Victoria that managed to figure out how to get into a service station, so a petrol station, and they literally find that they hop up to the door, literally wait for it to open, and then move in, which is exactly what these kangaroos did in Busselton in Western Australia.
Yes, I watched one exit. He knew to hit the door in some fashion. It opened for him, and he was gone. They look, you know, in profile, they look a little like an unscary version of Alien, the mama creature that almost ate the Hollywood movie stars. However, you tell me that they're not hostile when they come in. If they're hungry, they go for the food. They don't bother people, just sitting there. I saw one guy just watch the kangaroo just hopped by him, and he kept eating.
This tells you just how many times they've done it, especially there. And honestly, the way that we grow up in Australia, we're taught that if you see a kangaroo, they're not actually creatures that want to naturally kill you. So if you just be very calm, just, show them a little bit of respect, they'll go by. And I guess in this KFC, I mean, everyone keeps eating, but I have offered them some fries, I guess, at some point as well. So everybody's made friends. And I think in that video towards the end there, or certainly there's another one where the staff behind the counter actually provide a little bit of food as well. So you can see kangaroos, humans, we just have learned to live together here in Australia.
We go to the try to kill you part. A man who was bitten by a snake in his New South Wales Upper Hunter backyard says he owes his life to the everyday heroes who saved him. What happened, Jeremy?
Oh, this was a bad one, John. This was up in Newcastle, so about 2.5 hours north of Sydney. And what happened was this individual, he was working in his home. He was just out in his garden. He had some what we call tradies, trade people around. So there were some basically concreters and construction workers nearby. He was doing some work, and all of a sudden, he felt something brush up against his leg. Didn't think much of it, but then he felt a little prick. And he was like, oh, that something's wrong here. So he looks down, and sure enough, it was a brown snake. Unfortunately, he had been bitten by a brown snake. Almost immediately, he reported feeling quite off. He felt a little bit woozy, I guess you could say. And within a very short amount of time, felt like he was about to collapse. So he managed to call out to the tradies that were only just around the corner of his house, who came running. And by the time they got to him, he had actually collapsed and had stopped breathing, and he had started going into cardiac arrest. But being Australia, luckily these construction workers, they had a snake first aid kit and they knew what to do with first aid. So immediately started to revive him, provided CPR, got the snake bite area wrapped up tightly with a bandage to stop the poison spreading any further. And one of them had got an ambulance rolling pretty much straight away and was there within about 10 minutes. So continued to revive him. The ambulance turns up. They managed to bring him back. He had actually died for some time, but they still managed to revive and bring him back. And the good news story, John, is now sometime down the track, several months later, he's fully recovered. This is very, very rare, and it was only the actions of those tradesmen that actually saved him. But he's up and walking and basically 100% okay. So this shows again that if you actually do the right thing after being bitten by a brown snake, you can survive. But it also shows at the same time that if you get bitten by a brown snake, it probably will be fatal unless you do something very quickly. So, great news story. And again, there's some local heroes up in Newcastle.
This is a vigorous young man. His immune system would be first rate. His muscles indicate that he's quite fit. And so one Eastern brown bite took him down. Wow, Jeremy, that's quick. That's not the hour they've talked about getting to the hospital. That's within minutes.
That's another part of this story too, John. It really does show that when you're told that, you have to get to a hospital within an hour or preferably within half an hour, that's best case scenario. But in this case, and he admits that he has a very good recollection of the incident, it didn't really feel like a snake. It felt more like a stick. So he was lucky he looked down when he did. But it shows that the right snake with the right fang in the right part of the body will actually get the poison straight to the heart. And I dare say probably what happened here, the venom either went straight into a vein, leading straight back to the heart, or it was into an artery that pumped it so quickly around the system that he really didn't have a chance. But it really shows that the venom is something you can't mess with. And brown snakes, their fangs, they know where to bite.
You know, the whole idea of working in the yard becomes a little more dangerous here, Jeremy. We joke about it once in a while with Dallas and you going outside and not stepping on sticks. But 2.5 hours north of you, nothing that different in the climate, right? It's his springtime, your springtime.
It's exactly the same. And in fact, I can tell you the last week and a half, I've been out basically getting our yard ready for snakes. I can tell you I've taken all the shrubs away, all the undergrowth is gone. But while I've been out there, I've actually had boots on. I've actually had jeans on the whole time, and I've actually been what I call snake ready. And honestly, I have not put my hand anywhere near any bushes where I think there could be a snake under. Worn gloves. I know that's something that apparently us Aussies don't do around snakes. We tend not to wear gloves, as all pictures tell us. But I've actually been pretty much waiting to see one because this area in particular, we also get tiger snakes, which are basically a brown snake with rings on them. And they're just as dangerous as the brown snakes. But I can happily report I haven't seen any yet, touch wood, and I think my yard's ready to go. But honestly, John, I mean, just doing your yard work here in Australia, it can actually kill you.
You've been on the road. Now, Dallas and the Magpies. How's that conversation going?
Well, it's going very well. Dallas not only seems to have more magpies, but they seem to think I'm also a slave to all of them. So just the other day, when I went out to feed Dallas, you know, a little bit of ham, and I thought, you know, it was nice because he's a good dog. He was a good spoodle after his walk. As I went out there, all of a sudden, I had three other friends with me as well. The magpies suddenly are turning to me for their daily breakfast. So you know what? I'm now feeding Dallas's magpies. He's looking after them. There's more around the backyard. And while they're wonderful, I can say with the light coming up a little bit early here as we're coming into summer, they're actually starting to try and wake me up at about 5 a.m. So I don't know. I mean, they're cute, but at some point, John, I think I'm going to have a chat to Dallas's magpies.
You can see them actually charting your house, Jeremy. You know, really, we're talking about very intelligent birds. These are crow-like thinkers. All right. Dallas, they entertain Dallas, and that's the important part. They're not hostile to him. And he sits there and watches them eat the rest of his breakfast. Is that what he does?
He does. And when I say he sits there, he's not far away. I've seen him do it where he's only 3 feet in his dog bed, and the magpies are just happily walking around him to get to the breakfast. And Dallas pops his head up and just watches happily. So they have come to some sort of agreement, and it's fantastic to watch. But I just feel like the provider in this relationship. I have to keep filling up his food bowls for both him and the magpies, and then provide the magpies a little bit of extra ham. So I guess they've got it made.
Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales. Cricket news. Next, in England, in the Northern Hemisphere, where the summer is fleeting. Actually, it's fled. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.